Chapter 1, 13th Book, Hermes Trismegistus, to Tat, concerning the universal spirit. 1. Hermes, the spirit, O Tat, is of God's very essence, at least if one could speak of such a thing as the essence of God. However that may be, it is the spirit alone that knows itself perfectly. 2. That is why the spirit cannot be distinguished from the essence of God. It emanates from that source just as light emanates from the sun. 3. This spirit is the good in men, hence some men are gods. Their human state very closely approximates to the divine state. The good demon has accordingly called the gods immortal men, and men mortal gods. In beings devoid of reason, the soul is nature. Wherever there is life, there is also a soul. In beings devoid of reason, however, the soul is nothing but life, empty of spirit. But the spirit is a benefactor of the souls of men. It works on them and forms them for the sake of the good. In beings devoid of reason, the soul cooperates with each one's natural disposition. In men, however, it works against this disposition. 5. Every soul that has entered a body is tormented by pain and lust, since, in this dense body, pain and lust course, like a blaze into which the soul is plunged and in which it is drowned. See, whenever the spirit can give guidance to such souls, it causes its light to go out to them and opposes their inclinations. Just as a good physician cauterizes or cuts away what is diseased in the body, so the spirit inflicts suffering on the soul by leading it away from lust, which is the cause of its diseased state. 7. But the great disease of the soul is its denial of God, with the resulting erroneous thinking, which gives rise to all evils and certainly nothing good. That is why the spirit, by combating this disease, imparts the good to the soul once more, just as the physician restores health to the body. 8. But human souls that do not allow themselves to be guided by the spirit find themselves in the same condition as the souls of animals devoid of reason. The soul cooperates with them and gives free rein to their desires, towards which they are drawn by the intensity of the lust they are chasing in their reasonless state. As irrational beings, they ceaselessly surrender themselves without any restraint to their passions and desires, and their sins will never satisfy them, as the irrational activities of passions and desires constitute a boundless evil. 9. Over these souls, God has placed the law as castigator, so that they might become aware of their wickedness. 10. Tat. In view of all of this, O Father, it appears to me that what you told me before concerning fate is entirely discredited. If someone is predestined to commit adultery or sacrilege or some other crime, will he then be punished, although he has done the deed in the coercive grip of fate? 11. Hermes. Everything, my son, is the work of fate, without which nothing can happen with regard to things corporeal, be it good or evil. It is equally through fate that he whose deeds have been beautiful and good will experience the result of that action. Therefore, everybody acts in order to gain experience through the variety of his actions. 12. But let us now no longer speak about sin and fate for those we have dealt with before. We are now talking about the soul and its faculties and how it works differently in men and in beings devoid of reason. In the latter, it cannot work beneficially, but in men, it extinguishes the passions and desires. Among men, one should distinguish between those who possess the soul and those who have no link with the soul. All men are subject to fate, to birth, and change, for these are the beginning and the end of fate. 13. Thus, all men experience the decrees of destiny, but those who follow reason, those who, as we have said, are guided by the soul, do not experience them as the others do. Since they have freed themselves from evil, they do not experience the decisions as something evil. 14. Tat. What then do you want to say, Father? Is the adulterer not bad? Is the murderer not bad? Nor all the others? 15. Hermes. My son, a man who is guided by reason, will nevertheless know the suffering connected with adultery and murder, fussed like an adulterer and a murderer, even though he does not practice adultery and does not commit murder. It is impossible to escape from change, just as it is impossible to escape from birth, but he who possesses the soul can free himself from evil. Therefore, my son, I have at all times listened to the words of the good demon. If he had made them available in writing, he would have rendered a great service to the human race. He alone, my son, has spoken truly divine words, since he, as the firstborn of God, recognizes all things. Thus I once heard him say that all created things are one, and in particular the corporeal beings endowed with intellect, that we live out of potential power, through active power, and through the essence of eternity. That is why the spirit, just like the soul thereof, is good. 17. Consequently, the things of the spirit are undivided, and the spirit, which rules over all things and is the soul of God, is capable of doing whatever it wills. Consider these things and relate what I said just now to the question you asked me earlier about fate and the soul. If you now put aside all contention over words, you will find, my son, that the spirit, the soul of God, truly has dominion over everything, over fate, over the law, and over everything else, and that nothing is impossible for it. It is able to exalt the human soul above fate, but equally to subject it to fate if it has fallen into error. Behold the sublime words spoken by the good demon. 18. Tat. These are divine, true, and enlightening words, Father. But may I ask you to explain the following as well? You said that in beings devoid of reason, the soul acts in keeping with their disposition and inclinations. Now I suppose that passion, pathos, is the inclination of beings devoid of reason. If the soul cooperates with the inclinations, and the latter are passions, is then the soul also a passion, since it is affected by pathos? 19. Hermes. Very good, my son. Your question is discerning, and it is fair that I should answer it. Everything incorporeal in a body is subject to pathos, passion, suffering, and, strictly speaking, is itself passion, pathos. Whatever gives rise to movement is incorporeal. Whatever is moved is a body. The incorporeal is also moved, and that by the soul, and this movement too is passion, pathos. So both that which causes movement and that which is moved are subject to suffering, pathos. The one because it imposes movement, the other because it is subjected to the impulse of motion. If, however, the soul disengages itself from the body, it also frees itself from suffering, pathos, passion. It may be better to say, my son, that nothing is without pathos, suffering, but that everything is subject to it. Pathos, suffering, is not the same as the experience of pathos. The former is active, the latter passive. Bodies, too, are active of themselves. They are either motionless or being moved. In both cases, there is pathos. 20. The incorporeal is forever being urged to action, and is therefore subject to suffering. So do not let yourself be misled by words. Active power and pathos, suffering, are one and the same. But there is nothing against using the purest, most favorable name for it. 21. Tat. Your explanation has been very clear, Father. 22. Hermes. Furthermore, my son, consider that on the human being alone among all mortals, God has bestowed two gifts, the soul and the word, which are equivalent to immortality. If man uses these gifts in the right way, he will differ in nothing from the immortals. Even more than this, he will free himself from the body and be guided by these two to the choir of the gods and the blessed ones. 23. Tat, do other living beings not use the word, Father? 24. Hermes, they only have at their disposal a sound, a voice. The word, speech, differs very much from the voice. All human beings have words in common, while every other living being has a voice or sound entirely of its own. 25. Tat, yet the language of men differs for every nation. 26. Hermes, indeed languages differ, my son, yet mankind is a unity, and words too are a unity. If they are translated from one language into another, it turns out to be the same both in Egypt and in Persia and Greece. It seems to me, my son, that you do not yet comprehend the marvel and the tremendous significance of the word. The blessed God, the good demon, said that the soul is in the body, the spirit in the soul, the word in the spirit, and that accordingly God is the Father of all of them. So the word is the image, and the soul of God, the idea, is the image of the soul, the body is the image of the idea. 27. So the most subtle part of matter is the air, ether. The most subtle part of the air is the soul. The most subtle part of the soul is the spirit, and the most subtle part of the spirit is God. 28. God encompasses and permeates everything. The spirit encompasses the soul. The soul encompasses the air, ether. The air encompasses matter. 29. Fate, providence and nature are instruments of the cosmic order and the order of matter. All things that are equipped with a soul are beings, and their state of being is identical. However, each one of the bodies from which the all is composed is multiple in nature. The identity of the composite bodies is preserved in imperishability, changing from one form into the other. Moreover, all composite bodies have a unique number, since without a number, neither a combination nor a dissolution could be achieved. It is the units which generate the number that makes them multiple, and that absorb again the composite parts when the number dissolves, whereas matter remains singular. 31. Well then, this whole world, this great Godhead, which is the image of Him who is even greater, and with whom it is one, and with whom it maintains the Father's order and will, is the fullness of life. There is nothing in it that is without life, neither in its generality or in any part of it, in the entire course of return throughout the aeons proclaimed by the Father. There has never been, and nor will there ever be anything in the world that is dead. 32. It is the will of the Father that the world should live as long as it maintains its cohesion. That is why the world must needs be God. 33. How then would it be possible, my son, for a thing such as death to be within God, in Him who is the image of the all, in Him who is the fullness of life? For death is decay, and decay is destruction. How then could one think that any part of what is imperishable could pass into decay, or that any part of God could be destroyed? 34. But Father, do living beings not die, even if they are in the world and part of it? 35. Hermes, do not put it like that, my son, for such an expression of what is taking place will mislead you. Living beings do not die, but their composite bodies are dissolved. This dissolution is not death, but the annulment of a complexity. This dissolution is not meant to be destruction, but a new becoming, renewal. For what is the active life force? Is it not movement? And what is motionless in the world? Nothing, my son. 36. Tat, but do you not consider the earth to be motionless, Father? 37. Hermes, no, my son, it is unique in being both full of motion and permanent. Would it not be absurd to assume the one who sustains the all, the one who gives birth to everything and makes it grow, to be motionless? For without motion, nothing could come to birth. It is rather absurd to ask, as you do, whether a fourth part of the world might be inactive, for an immobile body means nothing else than inactivity. 38. Know then, my son, that everything that exists in the world is, without any exception, being moved, whether it be in order to decrease or in order to increase. And what is in motion is also alive, and it is a holy law that nothing which is alive remains equal to itself, that is, unchanged. Broadly speaking, the world is unchanging, but all its creations change, although without perishing or being annihilated. It is only words and names that confuse and disturb people. 39. Life does not consist of birth, but of consciousness, and change does not mean death, but forgetting. 40. In this regard, everything is immortal: matter, life, breath, the soul, the spirit, the intellect, instinct, everything of which every living being is composed. 41. In this sense, every living being is immortal, but most of all, the human being, who is able to receive God and be one with Him. It is only with this living being that the Godhead communicates, during the night by dreams and during daytime by signs. Elon manifold ways it foretells the future, by birds, by entrails, the clouds and the oak, so that it is given to man to know past, present and future. Also, my son, pay attention to the fact that each of the other living beings exists solely in one part of the world: aquatic animals in water, terrestrial animals on the land, winged animals in the air. The human being, however, relates with all the elements, with the earth, with water, with the air, and with fire, and even with heaven. He comes into contact with it and perceives it with increasing knowledge and insight. 43. God encompasses everything and permeates everything, for He is both the active and the passive power of the all. That is why it is not difficult at all to understand God. 44. When during your refiections you wish to apprehend God, then behold the world's order and the beauty of this order. Behold the necessity of all that you thus perceive, and of providence, which rules over past and present. See how matter is entirely filled with life, and how the movement of this majestic Godhead works with all the good and beautiful ones, with gods, demons, and men. 45. Tat. But those are activities of power, Father. 46. Hermes. If they are only activities of power, my son, by whom then are they wrought? By another Godhead. Do you not see that life and immortality, blood, fate, providence, nature, the soul and the spirit are aspects of God, just as heaven and water and the earth and air are part of the world, and that the permanence of all this is called the good? So there is nothing, either today or in the past, in which God is not present. 47. Is God in matter then, Father? 48. Hermes. Should matter exist outside of God, my son, what place would you then choose for it? And what else could it be, as long as it had not been brought to activity, but a confused mass? And if it had to be brought to action, by whom then? We have said that active powers are the creations of God. So from whom do all living beings receive life? To whom do the immortal ones owe their immortality? Who brings about the change in what is changeable? 49. Whether you speak of matter, or of the body, or of the essence of things, know that these are also activities of God's power. The activity of power in matter constitutes substance. The activity of power in bodies constitutes corporeality. And the activities of power in the essence determines the essential being. All this is God, the All. 50. In the All there is nothing that is not God. That is why God cannot be defined by conception of size, place, quality, form or time, for God is the All, and as such He is in everything and encompasses everything. Worship these words, my son, and revere them. There is only one religion, one way to serve and worship God, namely, by not being evil.